You're listening to Radio MD. What's good and good for you? Why, Family Food Kitchen, of course. Here they are, Ellen Briggs and Carolina Jantak.
So many of us would like to grow our own food, or at least some of it, but think our yard just isn't big enough to do it. Maybe we think we don't have enough space or enough light or enough the right soil to produce, or maybe we just don't think we can do it. Well, no worries. We have Farmer Jay here with us today, and he is amazing. He's a friend who loves to garden and is brilliant at learning how to, if you're downsizing maybe from a condo to, from a house to a condo, you have a balcony. He's got answers. He can get gardens growing from the most amazing nooks and crannies. So you're going to find out all about that right now, Farmer Jay. Let's start with that concept of just having a balcony. How can anybody grow some really beautiful, fat, juicy tomatoes? At least I love those. Or anything else on a balcony?
You know, as long as you have, you know, something that's going to hold soil, you're pretty much going to be okay. You know, you do have a couple of considerations. You know, if you're growing a tomato, you're going to need something a little bit bigger, so you're going to have to consider the root size of that plant, what it's going to grow to. But, you know, there's no excuses. You can't cop out if you have only a balcony. You can definitely grow something, and herbs are a fine thing. One thing you do have to consider is the light, your exposure there, and then making sure that you get water to it when it needs it.
Okay, so let's just use an example. And by the way, I have seen gardens in old tubs in backyards. So people use anything for a container today. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, that's
but
right.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I remember growing up, my grandmother took boots, old, you know, cowboy boot or army boots, and filled them with soil. And, you know, she drilled holes in the bottom so they would drain. So you're absolutely right. Anything that'll hold soil.
Awesome. That is hilarious. I've never thought about cowboy boots or army boots or any boots. Oh, those old
boots.
Yeah,
you can decorate them and paint them. So, you know, if they're all scuffed up and beat up, you just paint them, do whatever you like on it, and make a design. And then you can even hang them, too. You can use them as along a wall, you know, or something like that. You just tack them up and let them go.
So we're going to have a boot garden now. That is hilarious. Why not? Why not have some fun with it? I totally agree with you. All right, so I have a pair of old boots or boots that I've worn out this winter. It was a crummy winter for so many people. So I'm sick of them, but I can now paint them and bring them to life. And I have a balcony. What would I plant in that boot? And just give me some tips on how to get started with this.
All right, yeah, no, this is good because, you know, a lot of people will, you know, they'll not set the garden up right, and then they'll say, I have black thumb and give up, and it's a common thing. But the thing is you have to figure out your light exposure. You know, what direction is this facing? Is it a screened-in porch or balcony that has a roof over the top? You know, so if it's not getting any direct sunlight right onto the plant, then it's probably not going to be best for tomatoes and things like that because they need like 8 hours of sunlight. But if it does have exposure over the top, and you want to, southern exposure is always the best. East or west would be second. You know, a lot of times in the north, you know, especially as you dip into like, you know, the fall or whatever, the sun will drop a little further to the south. So the north will be always shaded. But southern exposure best. If you have east or west exposure, or you have an overhang that covers it, then you're going to be best off to grow greens and herbs and lettuces and things like that. Rule of thumb, anything that bears fruit needs 8 hours of sunlight. Rooting vegetables like your carrots and turnips and radishes can get by with 6 to 7, and then your leafy greens and herbs can get by with 6, and sometimes under that. Like arugula can get by in shade really well. In fact, it improves the flavor, you know, makes it less peppery than parsley and chives and things like that. They do really well with low light.
Wow. You know, Farmer Jay, you said something that's so true. I've known people myself that have given up on gardening because they had a bad experience the first time. And most likely it wasn't anything that they intentionally did. It was the setup. So to speak to that, you spoke about light and shade and the placing, and if you have a screen. What about the soil? How important is the soil? And if so, what should I be looking for?
Absolutely. One of next to sunlight, that's going to be your most important. What people take for granted is the soil is the digestive system of the plant. And since we all want to be organic and we don't want to use chemicals, we have to make sure that we have a good digestive system. You know, just like us, 70% of our immune system is in our digestive system. And the plants are very similar. You know, if the soil's poor and you have poor digestion in the soil, then the plant's going to go south on you. It's not going to do well. So you got to make sure. So I always say don't skimp on the soil. You definitely want to get an organic mix, something that doesn't have any. A lot of times some of these companies will add like these polymers that retain water. I'd stay away from that. And also anything with slow release chemical fertilizers, stay away from that. Look for something that says it's organic, and you're going to have to add fertilizer to it, you know, because most chances are that bag's been sitting there for a while and they might have put some organic fertilizer in it when they packaged it. But because it's an organic process, the digestive process, you know, the fertility level when you get it might be a lot different than when they first packaged that. So in my experience, you're always going to have to add some fertilizers to that. So stay away from topsoil or anything like that. It has to say that it's a potting mix. And potting mixes are predominantly peat moss, and then they'll add things in it like composted pine bark. And you might see little white things in it. And you want to feel those little white things. They look like little pebbles almost. And there's two things it could be. It could be perlite, which is what you'd rather it be. And perlite is sand that they heat to a high temperature and it pops like popcorn. And then the other thing is styrofoam. They call it aerolite or styrolite. And that's bad news. That's a petroleum product. And in my experience, it doesn't work. It's not very effective. But they add these things in there to add pore space to your soil because you want to have oxygen. Technically, a good soil is going to be 50% organic matter, 25% water, and 25% air. So you want to have a good balance like that. If you have too much peat in there and not enough like perlite or something that's going to add pore space, then your plant's going to get bogged down and it's going to probably get fungus. And then on the other end, it's probably going to always be dry, you know. So those are some things to look out for, and don't skimp on it. I'd go ahead and, you know, get the top-of-the-line soil, get the best that you can get, and you'll definitely see the results.
Okay, so I now understand I've done something wrong because I do put peat moss in, and you're saying that holds the moisture and makes it
well, no, it's good. So if you're going to mix your own soil, you want to have just a generic mix is one-third peat moss, one-third perlite, and one-third compost. So you mix those three together, and you should have a pretty good ratio of, you know, water holding capacity and air holding capacity. So if you do all peat moss and then just put some fertilizer in it, then you're probably going to struggle. Not many plants are going to thrive in that condition. They're going to need some spot for organisms. See, all the organisms in the soil food web inside your soil are aerobic organisms. They require oxygen. And when you cut off the oxygen, you start breeding the pathogens and the bad guys that are going to take out your plant. So you want to make sure that you have good oxygen in there. You know, see, fertilizer is food for these organisms. Just like when we eat, it's food for our organisms in our stomach. You know, we don't directly feel the benefits of the food until our microbiology breaks down and releases the nutrients to us, and it's no different for the soil. We put the chicken manure in the soil or the minerals or whatever it might be, the biology breaks it down and releases it to the plant so it can take it up. See, that's why you got to use organic, because it's 100% effective. When we put synthetic fertilizers in the soil, as much as 80% of them could leach into our water system because they pass right by the roots. And if the plant's not ready to take those nutrients, then it gets wasted. That's why a lot of these synthetic fertilizers are so high on the NPK numbers, the three numbers on the side of the fertilizer is nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. And a lot of
Farmer Jay, I have
up.
To interrupt you because this is a whole nother, we're going to have to do another show. We did a great show on soil, but we are out of time. So thank you for being with us today. FarmerJay.com is where you find him. And to find out more about our healthy solutions, go to our site, kidcritics.org. And please eat well and stay well. Thanks for being with us.